Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the UTalk podcast. I'm your host, Joseph Silverzweig, here by myself today. Grant is swamped at work. He can't make it. So it's just you and me in my office here, and we are going to have a lot to talk about, though. A little quick recap. First thing we're going to talk about, as always, is we're going to do our little Kyle Kuzma watch, see how he's doing. An amazing game last night. That's going to be fun to talk about. And then we are going to touch on signing day. I'm going to use my rivals and numbers expertise to tell you guys all about signing day, what happened, what to expect, and what to expect in February with the Utes currently ranked at 81st in the nation for their recruiting class. Finally, we are going to talk about the bowl game. I think we're the only people talking about the bowl game, but it's kind of exciting to play in a bowl game day after Christmas. I took the day off. I'm going to eat some Zaxby's. I'm excited. All right. Let's get going. First off, Kyle Kuzma watch. Kyle Kuzma's amazing. He won Rookie of the Month, I think, which is pretty exciting, and is the first Rookie of the Month who was not a lottery draft pick in, gosh, I think it's been about 10 years, something like that, maybe even a little bit longer. And a lot of that was thanks to his most recent game breaking the Houston Rockets' 14-game winning streak. He went 7 of 10 for 3, 38 points. That's back at 25 points against the Golden State Warriors, 20 points against the Cleveland Cavaliers. So Kyle Kuzma has scored 20, 25, and 38 against the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Golden State Warriors, and the Houston Rockets, which are three of the best teams in the NBA. Some Rookie of the Year buzz is starting to build. Grant's not here to tell me to calm down and relax, so I'm just going to get on that hype train and say, Kyle Kuzma, man, pretty exciting. It's all about that that three-point percentage for him. 7 of 10, 4 of 6 against Golden State, so that's 11 of 16. That's just amazing numbers. All right, signing day. So this is the first year that we have two signing days. There's an early signing day. The period's not technically over. It goes till midnight on Friday. And anybody who wants to, who has a committable offer, can write in their letter of intent, and they can fax it into their school, and they are locked in just as if they signed in February. And schools took a couple of different approaches to signing day. Most schools went with the kind of all-in approach. They just tried to fill up their class. Georgia signed 24, Ohio State 21, Penn State 22, Notre Dame signed 20, Alabama. These teams signed a lot of guys, right? Washington signed a lot, USC signed a lot. Some teams, just a few, and Utah was among them, didn't go with that. Teams like Some mediocre teams, but some really good ones and strong recruiting teams. UCLA signed 11. Arkansas signed 10. Florida State signed 9. Utah got, I think, 8 signings, official signings, six official signings. They skipped on a couple of their missionary guys because there's new financial rules, and as soon as you make a signing or sign a financial aid agreement, you're kind of locked in and you count towards your 25. The goal there is to try and keep teams that shall remain nameless from recruiting kids while they're on their missions, and we'll kind of see how that plays out over the next 3-4 years and if that mission recruiting comes to a stop. Utah got some great players, filled immediate needs on defense. They got a 6'6", 240-pound defensive end. And this guy, you got to look him up. Look him up on Twitter. His name's Jeremiah Jordan, and he is just a monster. He's one of the most intimidating human beings I've ever seen. They also signed linebacker Bryant Pirtle. That was a huge get, major target for them. JUCO kid, 6'3", 6'2", maybe between 225 and 235. He's really a pure edge rusher right now. He's got 2 years to kind of fully fill into that linebacker role. But we are certainly looking forward to seeing what he can do. And I think eventually he's going to fill that Kavika Lufatasanga heavy hitter, almost too big play linebacker, and mostly playing in the middle rather than edge to edge. Even though he's fast for his size, I think his lateral speed is probably limited by how big he is. Utah also signed Jack Tuttle. That is a top 100 player, the number 4 pro-style quarterback in the entire country. 6'4", just a hair under 200. I mean, the truth. This is the kind of player that everybody gets excited about when USC, UCLA signs. And everybody wanted this kid to play for their team. I'll pull up his offer sheet here. Alabama, Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, LSU, Missouri, Nebraska, Oregon State, USC, Vanderbilt, Washington State, and Wisconsin. Those are his Power 5 offers. And that's everybody. That's as good as it gets. All the way from Alabama to USC, that's as good as it gets. And his film lives up to that hype. He's probably going to play backup next year. Jason Shelley might beat him out, but he's projected as the future starter as soon as Tyler Huntley's done. And my guess is Jack has designs on Huntley's job before he graduates, and that's exactly what we want, is a spirited competition. Noticed some concern on Twitter and social media and the Rivals boards about how few athletes Utah signed. They're watching these other classes. Arizona signed 18 kids, and everybody's just pulling in their entire class. And you say, well, does Utah not have any talent? But this is a strategy that Utah's deployed. They figure that there's going to be less noise, that there's going to be less scholarships available, and the kids who are thinking, oh, I got other options besides Utah, might find out, wow, gosh, Utah's really my best pick, once they get a look at who other teams have signed. And it looks like that's going to play out to Utah's benefit. I crunched some numbers. One really interesting thing I found is that there were about 1.3 athletes for every Power 5 scholarship this year. But after signing day, it looks like there's about 1.7 athletes for every scholarship this year, which means that scholarships just got about 30% more valuable. There's going to be 30% more competition and struggling between athletes for these positions, for these scholarships, and that's just elite players. That's just 3-star and up. Real opportunity to contribute, guys. Utah's not interested in 2-star kids anymore. BYU can have them, and they did. They've got about 11 kids committed. And I think it's really going to work. A good example is Chris Olave. He's Jack Tuttle's star wide receiver, really good player, has a very impressive top 5 that happens to include Utah. He's one of these kids who says, well, I'm going to go to Ohio State, Michigan, USC, UCLA, or Utah. And you're like, wow, how did Utah even get in that group? That's cool. And then you start looking at these teams. Michigan has 88 players on the roster next year. You're only allowed to have 85. So they've already got to cut 3 scholarships before they can actually accept Chris Olave's offer. Ohio State and UCLA, they, between the two of them, they signed 5 wide receivers. So they don't really have a need, even though they might have scholarships available. And USC, they only signed 11 guys, but they have a very, very narrow roster space right now because they're not graduating a ton of guys. They're hoping for 3 or 4 of their juniors to leave so they can offer a few more guys. But right now, 10, 11, 12 is looking like the actual size of that class. It may be that Chris Olave does not have a scholarship offer besides Utah right now in his top 5, although Nebraska just rolled out the red carpet for him and will probably be competing for Olave's surfaces here late. So I'm excited, and I think that's the general feel among the recruiting set, is that Utah did this exactly right. Because you look at the talent that's still out there, you look at the guys who look like they might have lost scholarships, and Utah is in a position to really clean up with that straightforward, we have played it absolutely straight with you from day one approach that Kyle Whittingham and his staff encourage. So I'm really hopeful. I think Utah is going to be, in February, really push its way up the rankings. They're in the 80s right now, which is totally unacceptable, but their average star ranking is 3.2. 3.2 is 31st in the country, and I think Utah might even improve on that a little bit, sign another 2-3, 4-star players, sign a bunch of 3-stars, no 2-stars to bring it down, and get in that 3.3, 3.4 range for average star rating with a full class. And that'll put them in the top 20, top 25, which is exactly where Utah wants to be. Utah's never going to be top four in the Pac-12, at least not until they win some Pac-12 championship games. They're not going to beat out USC. They're not going to beat out UCLA. They're not going to beat out Oregon, Washington, or Stanford. So if they can be fifth or sixth every single year in the Pac-12, that means they're beating every other team that they really have a realistic shot of beating in the aggregate. That doesn't mean that Utah can't compete with Stanford or USC on a one-off basis, but over the course of the whole recruiting season, you're going to see those teams aggregate really, really good classes that Utah can't quite compete with. That's going to be how it looks until Utah wins some championships, which they're doing their best to set up for. And this, even just the class they have now, really checked the boxes they needed to check. Big concern was finding somebody across from a nine, and then finding another linebacker, and they got both of those guys. I'd like to see one more linebacker who can contribute immediately on the roster. And then a big need for the Utes that they haven't signed yet is a ready-to-go offensive tackle, not a guard, not a center, a big 6'6", 6'7", long-arm guy who can really play left or right tackle and either beat somebody out or provide some really high-quality depth. And I think if they do that, they're well positioned to win the South, and then they're a game away from winning the league next year. I don't think that's an unreasonable expectation based on what I saw this year and based on what we've got already in this class and what I expect to happen in February. All right, thing is to talk about the bowl game. Utah has a bowl game, which you wouldn't know if you were listening to a radio station, any of the radio stations, or if you were reading the Salt Lake Tribune, or if you're reading the Des News. All you'd hear about is Grimes, the new offensive coordinator for BYU. And guess what? Utah has a bowl game. Utah is still playing football, and that's cool. And it's not just a bowl game. It's a bowl game against West Virginia, who is a really well-coached team with a lot of talent. They're 7-5, which isn't a great record, but they're a good team. They score a lot. It should be a really fun, entertaining game that everybody should be looking forward to. It's the day after Christmas. Like I said earlier, I took the day off. It's the Zaxby's Bowl. I like to celebrate the bowl by doing a little kickback to whoever does the marketing for it. Last year, I ate a Foster Farms chicken. This year, I think I'm going to buy a mess of fried chicken from Zaxby's, feed it to my family and friends, and it's going to be a pretty good night, and I think a pretty entertaining game. Although I think, hopefully not being too optimistic, I think Utah is going to win this game pretty darn comfortably for two reasons. One, West Virginia's defense is bad, and it's not just Big 12 bad, it's actual bad. They are less than 100th in the country in yards per pass. They're less than 100th in the country in yards per rush. Zach Moss is going to have a field day. Tyler Huntley is going to have all sorts of time. He's going to have the wide open receivers. Utah is finally healthy. Kylie Fitz says that he's 100%. He's going to be back. Huntley says he's 100%. He's going to be back. Carrington said that he's feeling a lot better and finally had the opportunity to kind of put the button on what he was hoping to be a pretty special and which started out as amazing, kind of NFL debutante ball for Carrington. I think that he is an NFL player and that he's still looking at that even if he doesn't have a great game. And then, of course, Zach Moss has really come into his own over the last few weeks, and I've started hearing, well, is this the best running back in the Pac-12 kind of stuff from all over, not just Utah. So when you add all that together, I think Utah is going to be able to score quite a few points. I've got them well over 30, 33, 37, somewhere in that range. And then West Virginia can score, too. They're well coached. Dana Holgerson's a great coach, and they got a lot of talent. But their running back, who's maybe a fourth, fifth, sixth round kind of guy, he's decided to take the game off to prepare for the NFL draft. And by the way, just to cut in here, more power to him. We're not doing the Fiesta Bowl. We're not in the Rose Bowl. This is the Zaxby's Heart of Dallas Bowl. It's fun, and I'm going to really enjoy it, and I'm really excited for it. But it is not a a world-beating, game-breaking bowl game that everybody has to be engaged with. And if the guy wants to not get his butt kicked, be my guest. And I think that criticizing these kids for making the best decision for them on this one game, I mean, they've put their bodies on the line day after day after day after day to say, you know what, I'm just going to do one less game because it's just an exhibition game, it's just for fun, and I'm looking at millions of dollars at stake if I tear my ACL or break my ankle. And I just don't think it's fair at all to judge these guys. But that running back is not the only guy who's going to be missing. The West Virginia quarterback, I think his name is Grider, he broke his finger in the second to last game of the year. And it was kind of hit or miss. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. But it turns out he is not going to be able to play for this game. He's 100% ruled out. And we're looking at a team that does not have its 1,000-yard rusher, does not have its quarterback. There's still good players on that team, and they're going to come to play, and they're going to want to win. But those are huge, huge hits, and I think are probably going to cost West Virginia at least a touchdown over the course of the game, if not more. If they can't gel, if they can't come together, it could be a total kind of blowout situation where Utah just has their way with them. I don't really see that happening. So for a score, I'm going to go with 37-23. The Vegas line is right around 7 points, or was before these injuries and people not starting came out, and I think was probably a little low to begin with. Utah really is a better team. I look at the numbers, and I see a West Virginia team that can't defend and a Utah team that's skill and level of performance is somewhat hidden by a really rough stretch in the middle of the season that I do think was an anomaly and that they should be able to bounce back from. So I'm picking a 14-point win for the Utes, which should have everybody pretty happy. And that's kind of everything I've got for you today. As I wish Grant were here because he really wants to talk about Larry Kostroviak. He's pretty frustrated with the out-of-conference schedule. He's frustrated with Coach K. He's frustrated with turnovers. He was really frustrated with a pretty darn embarrassing BYU game. And it really just didn't look like the Utes wanted to be there. But I am going to wait to dig into all that as much as I would love to until Grant is back, because Grant is, for my money, the best basketball guy to talk to there is around here. And I really want to hear what he has to say about all this stuff. And so with that said, I think I'm going to say goodbye, sign off here. The last thing I want to say, though, is we got algorithms. We got iTunes. We got Blog Talk Radio. We got Twitter. You Talk Podcast. Follow the podcast. Rate us on any available rating software that you have. We got to get those numbers up so that more people listen and hear the good work that Grant and I are doing. And, of course, if for some reason you think that we stink, tell us that we stink, and we will get to work and we'll get it fixed. We're here to help you guys get through your day, and we really want to make our show absolutely as best a show as we possibly can. So with that said, I wish you all a happy holiday. If you've already celebrated Hanukkah or Festivus, I hope it went really well. If you are still awaiting the Christmas season, Mazel Tov, have a great one, and enjoy the bowl game. Enjoy Pac-12 basketball getting started. It's a good time to be a Utes fan, and go Utes.
Thanks for listening to You Talk, brought to you by the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Find us on Twitter @You Talk Podcast or email @utalk@gmail.com.